Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 9, Number 5. In the last edition of SNU, I talked about the preventive and therapeutic use of probiotic supplements. Ensuring that your intestines are well stocked with friendly lactic bacteria is an important determinant of inner hygiene, immune function, and total body health. Friendly bacteria prevent the overcolonization of the unfriendly pathogenic variety and contribute to a stable and functional inner ecology. Friendly bacteria produce digestive enzymes, control pH balance in the intestines, reduce toxic bacteria, reduce high blood pressure, detoxify poisonous material in the diet, and manufacture several B-complex vitamins and vitamin K. They also help digest proteins, carbs, and fats, produce natural antibiotics, which inhibit dozens of known harmful microorganisms, and detoxify hazardous chemicals added to foods. They help eliminate bad breath and gas, produce tumor-suppressing compounds, prevent candida overgrowth, that's very common, reduce the incidence of yeast infections, and retard the frequency of infection. And how important is that? On this edition of Clinical Review, I'd like to talk about stress management, hurry sickness, and naturopathy. It's there all around us. Stress, like a huge envelope or gigantic blanket. Stress is reality coming at us full blast. Stress is like energy. It's elusive and escapes an absolute or firm definition, but it's real and it's 100% inescapable. No one can hide from stress. You can hide in your bedroom closet and stress will find you because it's in the air you breathe and in the thoughts you think. Stress is everywhere. Since returning recently from Honolulu to Vancouver, I can really see that people here in Vancouver, and now I'm one of them, really rush around trying to get from here to there as fast as possible. Trying to get as much done as possible or just trying to keep up with the pace of this society. With some limited exception, everyone seems to be in a hurry. You can tell by how they talk and how they walk and how they move and telephone conversations and cell phone use and everything. It's just the way it is here. And this is Vancouver, the mellow part of Canada. Imagine what it's like back in Toronto or New York. I mean, I've been to those places and you are on triple time there. So definitely the environment plays a role. There's no doubt that a chronic overload of hurry sickness is at work here, but you have to be away from it to really see it. Our experience recently in Hawaii, living there for about 6 or 7 months, was wonderful, very relaxing, and this is a good thing. You can still get things done when you take your time. However, the anxiety and elevated cortisol that comes from running around constantly without sufficient rest and sleep simply wasn't apparent in our hang-loose lifestyle in the land of Aloha. Lots of downtime is essential to cope with stress and intensity. During a stressful event, cortisol helps sustain blood sugar concentration by temporarily preventing the entrance of glucose into all tissues except the brain and spinal cord. At the same time, cortisol forces the catabolic breakdown of muscle and other organs into amino acids, which are then converted into glucose for extra fuel. That's how it works. Fight or flight. Prolonged continuous stress, therefore, especially when sleep is inadequate or limited, equates to the breakdown and eventual disintegration of functional lean mass like bones, tendons, ligaments, cartilage, skeletal mass, and organs. And this would explain in part why athletes get injured. They are stressed out in the gym and they are stressed out in life, and basically their body is just being broken down bit by bit because they don't have sufficient sleep, sufficient rest, and sufficient downtime. I get my athletes, especially the ectos, to lay down on the floor and just bring everything down in the middle of the day. And that is highly therapeutic for them, but very difficult for many of them to do. High cortisol levels sustained for long periods are immunosuppressive and destroy sexual function and libido. And guys, what do you think about that? Elevated cortisol has been implicated as a causative factor in substance abuse, smoking, alcoholism, anorexia nervosa, impairment of memory, and age-related neuronal damage. It's also associated with cardiac damage and altered cardiac rhythm patterns. Not good for the heart. So the environment we surround ourselves by, the games we play, and the lifestyle we choose absolutely plays a role in our health and well-being, both short and long term. So stress influences how your genes express themselves. No doubt about that. Over the course of my life, many things have become apparent. And one of the most obvious and real is how vital and necessary whole, fresh food is to our economy and ability to endure stress. In fact, part of my definition of optimum health and wellness includes this statement: when we are truly well, we are able to adapt to change and stress without significant damage. In every country throughout history, and without exception, when traditional whole foods are replaced with white flour, sugar, and alcohol, the people are decimated with degeneration and crippled with chronic disease. Food patterns vary greatly from regions of the world to the next, but as long as the food is wholesome, fresh, and plentiful, and mostly raw, regardless of its plant or animal origin, the people are vibrant, healthy, lean, and more resistant to the oxidative effects of mental, emotional, and physical stress. Response to stress now was nicely defined by Canadian physiologist Hans Selye. Born in Vienna, Austria-Hungary, in 1907, Selye became a doctor of medicine and chemistry in Prague in 1929, went to Johns Hopkins University on a Rockefeller Foundation scholarship in 1931, and then to McGill University in Montreal, where he started researching the concept of stress in 1926. In 1945, he joined the University of Montreal, where he had 40 assistants and worked with 15,000 lab animals. That's cool. Selye published 1,700 research papers, 15 monographs, and 7 popular books on topics related to stress. Now, Selye died in 1982, and guess what killed him? If you said stress, you're absolutely right. And that's exactly what everyone, including you and I, will die from too. We call it disease or damage or old age, but it's all stress. Stress is the load on life that eventually destroys it, or at least changes its form. When you die, your form, your energy, your chi changes form. Now, if you call that death, that's cool. But I don't. I think it's more than that. I don't know exactly what it is. I just know that the energy that's me is going to change. And when I meet my end, my terminal end, as we know it, as we refer to it that way, that is caused by stress. Things like oxidation, radiation, gravity, and entropy. This is all stress. Everything that exists is being stressed out by the existence of reality. It's the load on life itself and all the forces we have identified in the universe. Stress works against our survival. The key then, while we're alive, is to learn how to manage it, how to control stress, and how to respond to stress without letting it wipe us out prematurely. Now, I'm convinced that routine physical exercise performed correctly and consistently, as well as optimum nutrition, including dietary supplements, is a crucial component in the chess game of life we must all learn to play well to augment stress. In fact, our very lives depend on it. Cellier said that stress is a built-in mechanism designed to protect us from damage, and therefore, in this context, stress is a good thing because it's designed to protect us from going overboard. It's kind of like oxygen. You can't live without it, but breathing it kills you in the end. That's a paradox, and stress is a paradox too. Cellier defined human reaction to any form of stress as a form of adaptation, or what he called general adaptation syndrome, or the acronym GAS, or GAS. He proposed that GAS consisted of three stages of progression, including the following. Number one, the alarm phase. Number two, the adaptation phase. And number three, the exhaustion phase. Now, most of us ignore the alarm bell when it goes off or think it's normal or something that isn't very important. Not so. This is the time to really pay attention and take action to identify the cause of the alarm phase. Willingness to change or modify is crucial. This is where the power of preventive medicine is at its strongest. Now, it's easy to get used to the resistance stage, that second stage, and associate symptoms like fatigue, chronic pain, headaches, and the accumulation of body fat with age. We just blame it on age. But nothing could be further from the truth. Yes, I know we're oxidizing and we're changing and our DNA isn't the same at 80 as it was when we were 20. True. But getting used to uncontrolled stress, the kind that we're not aware of or we are aware of but we ignore, is like managing chronic pain with chemical analgesics that you buy in the drugstore or get through prescription. Sooner or later, the pain will become impossible to cover without a partial or total breakdown of the nervous, endocrine, and immune systems. Diseases and injury mainly appear in the final phase, the third phase, the exhaustion phase. When due to depletion and lowered resistance, the body loses the ability to manage the effects of stress. This state is way past the notion of prevention and normally requires emergency medical treatment. And typically, this is when the real nightmare begins. Damaged human goods are very, very difficult to fix. Now let's talk about naturopathic medicine. Naturopathy is a unique approach comprised of many disciplines that can be used in the healing of illness and injury. For me, it's the first choice. With its vast range of natural treatments, naturopathy offers individuals health and the opportunity to make the necessary changes in their lives to prevent further disease. So we're not treating disease, we're promoting health. We're elevating the importance of health. We're bringing health to consciousness. We're trying to reach inside and bring what's good out, the healing power of the body. Naturopathy means nature and suffering. So it's pretty straightforward. A naturopath is dedicated to health and healing using nature's pharmacy. And the elements of nature, including things like fresh air, fresh juices, meditation, whole food, natural health products, fitness, and so on. A traditional naturopath is typically trained in clinical nutrition, herbal medicine, homeopathy, acupuncture, hydrotherapy, physical therapy, including massage and therapeutic manipulation, counseling, and lifestyle modification. It's holistic. It's the whole person. Not a fragment, not a thread, not a part, but the whole. There's a big difference in this approach. The strength of naturopathy is based on six essential or vital principles, and these principles apply to everyone. Number one, first, do no harm. That is a great law to live by. Number two, treat the whole person. Number three, treat the cause rather than the effect. Number four, recognize the healing power of nature, otherwise known as nature's cure. Number five, the doctor is a teacher, not a dictator. And finally, number six, prevention is the best cure. It's so much easier to prevent damage than to wait until the damage has had time to go deep inside, and then you come to a man or a woman who's just a man or a woman. And how can they possibly heal you? The body heals itself. Do you have the materials? Do you have the raw materials? Are you supplying your biological demand? Do you know what the demands and the supply ratio is all about? In the organized and structured academic world of naturopathic medicine, and specifically in the conventional form of naturopathic medicine, very little academic emphasis is dedicated to the science of sports nutrition and the connection between athletic performance, food, and natural health products. This, I believe, is just a crying shame and a compromise of what naturopathy truly represents and encompasses. Fitness and exercise therapy is in no way less important or less powerful for health and healing than nutrition at its best. I don't care how good the nutrition is, it's incomplete without exercise as a therapy and as a way of life and as a consciousness. Movement is critical. Both fitness and nutrition are essential to understand. Therefore, a naturopath should have knowledge about both. He should be learned in both. He should go through study programs that teaches him about exercise, biomechanics, physiology, anatomy, in relation to movement, not just in relation to trying to fix things using other natural means, which are in themselves very important also. Now, unless your local naturopath or the one that you see has a personal interest in fitness, sport, and sports nutrition, don't expect them to know a great deal about creatine or ribose as they apply to building muscle mass or improving strength, power, endurance, and speed. Most naturopaths, like conventional allopaths or so-called regular doctors, are typically not qualified to address the performance needs of athletes in detail or answer questions about training and athletic performance, although many of the principles they do understand and teach definitely would apply to the treatment of sports injuries, healing, and overall wellness. The same can be said about chiropractors, massage therapists, acupuncturists, and most healthcare providers. It's impossible to be an expert in something you've never studied or been exposed to, and sports nutrition is simply not studied in conventional circles. I mean, if you go to the primary colleges and schools in North America where you get a degree as a naturopathic physician and you look at the study program, you're going to see either nothing or very little devoted to the science of exercise physiology and its impact on healing, especially in relation to sports nutrition, because you know what sports nutrition does is it brings the two together. It's the only section of the field that actually ties in the training with eating food. And if you're not training and moving, then you can't be well. And if you're not eating whole food, then you can't be well. So you need both. That is clear. That's logical. That's a rational approach. So therefore, if you really want to get healed, if you want to heal yourself, if you want assistance from anybody, you got to focus on both. So there is a huge need and an opportunity, obviously, then, for qualified experts in the sports nutrition field. And this is why I created the CSNA education program. And this is why it's so popular and it's growing. I found a niche to supply the demand, just like the prime directive of CHI. You've got to understand supply. What is the demand? What is the supply? What's all that about? It's not just food. It's what the organism needs to get well and stay well. To me, it's just so simple and so obvious. Now, think of the numbers of athletes and people who love fitness, who would love to interact with a health expert who specializes in sports nutrition, keeping in mind that fitness is not an option and everyone is an athlete engaged in the sport of life. Naturopaths strongly believe that adequate nutrient intake maintains the body physically, mentally, and emotionally. When the body is being abused with a processed diet rich in sugar, white flour, and fats that kill, the obvious deprivation of essential nutrients can create biochemical changes and imbalances in the metabolism, which may result in a wide variety of symptoms. This, in conjunction with a high intake of chemicals, sedentary living, and no exercise, inevitably leads to dis-ease. Germs, bacteria, and viral infectants, pathogens, they're not ignored. It's not that we're unaware of them. But unlike the conventional view, they are not always blamed entirely for the cause of the health challenge. A good naturopath will always consider the host's resistance as opposed to the pathogen, in the etiology or cause of disease. and healing. So you got a sick person. Obviously, there might be something inside that's causing an infection, but why did it get inside? How do they live? How do they think? It's all relative. And if anyone says it's not, they're wrong. If the body becomes overloaded or biochemically imbalanced, it attempts to eliminate toxic waste through the normal functional channels of elimination. If and when these channels are disrupted, impeded, or clogged, it uses the skin to rid itself of toxins, which will show up as bumps and pimples, acne, blackheads, eczema, psoriasis, herpes. This is like the first phase, the alarm phase that Selye talked about. Failing still to bring the body to homeostasis or balance, the lungs and nasal cavities will show signs of toxic release as congested sinuses, running nose, bronchitis, asthma, catarrh, and the list goes on and on. In addition, warning signals, and these are warning signals. It's like the red light that goes on the dashboard in your car when your oil's getting low. Stop and check the oil. Don't just reach under the dashboard and rip the wire off and then go about your business. If you do that, you won't be driving very long. And you're going to crack the block and have to replace the whole engine. And that is exactly what people try and do. After their block is cracked, they realize they can't replace it. They're stuck living in the body they have. And they've abused it through neglect or intentional abuse through a myriad of different ways. And remember, there are sins of commission. These things are things you do that you shouldn't do. And then there are sins of omission. These are the things that you're not doing that you must do to stay well. So it's a balance of both. So we're getting these symptoms, and it's going to end up as a plague if we ignore it. And then we get to finally the exhaustion phase, and then we're damaged goods. And so anybody, a naturopath, a specialist, a brain surgeon, anybody out there is going to have a bit of a challenge trying to fix you, especially when they're only using technical means and completely ignoring nature. Wellness of body and mind is always the bottom line. You can't train if you're sick or injured, and you can't make any progress if your body doesn't cooperate. Optimum health is the single most important criteria for participation in the sport of living. So it makes perfect sense to do whatever it takes to keep the body free from disease, fully functional, and in a state of dynamic balance. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening, and here's a quote from Paracelsus, the German physician and chemist. The reason we are ill is because we are never still.